On this week's edition of WBOY's Field Notes, Victoria Jacobson joins us to talk about tournaments in football, soccer, cross country, and volleyball before we preview girls basketball. That's all next on Field Notes. Thank you for joining us. I'm Brianna Barrow, filling in for Zach Bernard. He'll be back with you next week. Let's get started with Victoria Jacobson from the Journal Gazette. Thanks as always for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
So football sectional semifinals were last week. Tell us what the playoff picture is looking like heading into Friday.
Yeah, now that we are at this point in the season, there will be a trophy awarded every weekend, every round, until we get to the state finals on Thanksgiving weekend. So probably the most notable game that we had from last weekend was a rematch of a regular season rivalry. We had Northrop and Snyder playing, this time we know for the final time, against each other at Spooler Stadium, which they have shared for decades on Northrop's campus. It was a pretty Northrop-dominated affair during the regular season, which was really notable because Northrop had not beaten Snyder, their biggest rival, since 1999. This time, this one was a squeaker. Northrop 17, Snyder 16 in overtime. Northrop and Snyder, final game to send out Spooler Stadium between the two of them, and it turned out to be probably one of the best that we've seen in a long time. What that means is that we get another rematch in the Class 6A, a sectional final between Northrop and Carroll. So Northrop is 8-2. Carroll is 7-3. These teams played each other during the regular season and Carroll came out ahead, although that was an absolute slugfest. Carroll had a big lead. Northrop came almost all the way back, and then Carroll kind of pulled away in the fourth quarter. So that'll be really interesting to see after Carroll just walloped Elkhart. We also have East Noble at Bishop Dwenger. That's a really interesting one. It's the NE8 champ versus the SAC champ. So kind of interestingly, Southside has caused some trouble for both East Noble and Bishop Dwenger in recent weeks. The Archers were 3-8 this season. Not the most successful team around, but they really pushed East Noble to the brink in their sectional game last week. East Noble won 35-28. And during the regular season, in the final week of the regular season, they pushed Dwenger for a little bit longer than a lot of us were expecting. It kind of seemed like, oh, this is going to be a coronation for Bishop Dwenger. They just have to get this one victory over a Southside team that had two victories all season. And then ended up being a 28-12 final. So that's kind of interesting. And so I'm kind of interested to see how East Noble, which is kind of run through the NE8 schedule, is going to fare against Bishop Dwenger, which has the stingiest defense in the SAC. The final game that I kind of have my eye on this weekend is Eastside at Adams Central. That is in the Class 2A sectionals. Eastside has kind of been flying under the radar a little bit. Good season. The Blazers are 9-2, but when they lost to Churubusco, that kind of meant that they were out of the running for a divisional title there. But they had a really competitive 32-21 loss to Adams Central, the defending 2A state champs, at the beginning of the season. And now those two are going to duke it out again for a sectional title.
So in soccer, you and Zach talked last week about Blackhawk Christian's exciting performance in the semi-state title, and it looks like things have only gone up for them since.
So Blackhawk Christian had the honor of playing in the late night slot on Halloween night at the state finals. So on Friday night, they had to wait for the Class 2A boys soccer championship to wrap up, and that ended up going into overtime and then the longest penalty kick shootout in IHSAA boys soccer history. Blackhawk Christian did not get to start their game until 9:30 p.m. in Indianapolis, so it was a really late start. And for a while, we were kind of wondering, oh, is this game going to be going into the same situation? Are we going to go into overtime, still scoreless? Is this going to go into penalty kicks? That is not what happened. About midway through the second half, Blackhawk Christian's James Nevis scored to go up 1-0. And then in the final couple minutes of the game, and by final, I mean twice in the final 4 minutes, he got two more goals. They had been peppering the Indianapolis Cecina goalkeeper for that entire second half. But in the end, James Nebus has a hat trick in about 20 minutes of play in the final 20 minutes of the Class A state finals to give Blackhawk Christian their first boys soccer title. They kind of joke that it's the first cold weather title for Blackhawk Christian since the Braves had previously won in baseball, which is of course decided in June when it's usually pretty warm, and then basketball and volleyball both indoors. But yeah, now they finally have an outdoor weather, cold weather title, and they become the first boys soccer team in Fort Wayne after Canterbury to win one. So now we have two boys state title holders here in the city.
Wow. You said he scored twice in the last 4 minutes of that
game? Twice in the last four minutes.
That is amazing.
Three times in the last 20 or so minutes, and he becomes one of three players in boys soccer state history to score three goals in a half.
Wow. Cross country state finals also took place over the weekend. How did our local schools fare?
So it was a little bit of an overachievement, I think that's fair to say, for a couple of our schools. Our defending state champion, Mallory Weller, on the girls' side, she hasn't been able to run due to injury. Her teammates at Concordia finished second overall, even, you know, not having her as a part of the team score. Her younger sister, Daphne Weller, placed fifth. And Daphne was telling me she came into this season with the goal, top five at state. That's how she ended her sophomore season. Talking to Coach Scott Steffen, he said, you know, this is the third year in a row that the Concordia girls have finished second overall. But given the injuries, how hard it is to go out there and compete without your star, the one that everybody across the state was talking about, for them to finish in second place, he said, probably a lot of people won't understand what it means, but it means so much for his runners to go out and compete the way they did. And that wasn't the only podium team. In high school cross country, podium means the top five. It means your entire team gets medals. On the boys' side, Homestead finished third, which is the best that the Homestead boys have ever placed. It is their first time on the podium. You know, their coach was telling me, you guys are going to finish on the podium today. He probably would have thought, oh, wow, we scratched out fifth place. But they made it all the way to third and even weren't that far behind the second place team. So a really, really impressive showing by Homestead, which has been a strong team, but just never quite as strong as they were on Saturday. And then the Homestead girls also finished on the podium. They placed fourth. That's not their first time doing that or anything, but you got to go out there and do it every year. They did it in the final year of Coach Sarah Weiss's head coaching career. As she said, you know, it feels good every time, and it's really special to go out with this really successful season. And it was really nice to have the Spartan boys and girls on the podium together. Homestead is the only school in the state that did that this year.
And we also have two teams still alive in the volleyball state finals. What can you tell us about that?
Yes. So we have two teams from Fort Wayne that will be playing for a state title this weekend at Gamebridge in Indianapolis. And that's a first. Volleyball state finals have been held recently at Worthen Arena at Ball State and Muncie. But this time we're going to be playing at the home of the Pacers and the Fever and all of that. So the first one we're going to talk about is Carroll. No surprises there. The defending state 4A champions and an undefeated 36-0 record. So kind of exactly where we expected them to be. They really got pushed in semi-state last weekend against Westfield, but come away with the victory. They will be facing Plainfield, who is 29-5. Carroll has won 49 straight matches, by the way. So that's
wow.
From last season carrying over into this season.
How exciting.
That's kind of the team that we might have expected to see here in the state finals. In 3A, we have Bishop Dwenger. The Saints are 22-8, and they will be facing 32-5 Roncalli. This is kind of maybe a little bit more surprising one, because although the Saints have had a successful season and did win the SAC, they didn't even know who their coach was going to be a couple weeks before the season, but made it out of a very, very tough Concordia sectional last year. Angola, which also made it to the state finals, came out of that same sectional. We are going to see the Saints back in the state finals. They won a very memorable five-setter back in 2020. And a lot of the girls on this team were in middle school and got to see that and were inspired by that about 5 years ago. So that's really exciting. And we are going to see how they fare against last year's 3A state champions. And Roncalli has won 5 titles overall. So one of the blue bloods in Indiana volleyball.
And you've been getting us ready for basketball season with your previews at the Journal the last few weeks. The IBCA released its preseason rankings over the weekend, and one of our schools came in at number 1.
Yes, and this probably won't surprise a lot of people. Homestead was incredibly successful last season, and they return almost everybody from that team last year, including their top scorers. So Homestead begins the season as the preseason number 1 in the IBCA poll. That is a all classifications poll, so they don't separate by 4A, 3A, 2A, 1A. But Homestead is number 1. They got 11 first place votes. Number 2 is Lawrence Central, and then number 3 is Warsaw. So Warsaw is also in our coverage area. The Tigers were the Class 4A runners-up last year, but they return a couple key players like Brooke Sartman and Jocelyn Bricker and a couple other players who saw significant playing time last year. So Warsaw opens the season ranked 3rd, and they also drew 2 first-place votes. Norwell is opening the season at 7th. That's kind of interesting because the Knights won the Class 3A title last year, and then they have been promoted to 4A this year. So they're actually going to be in that same sectional as Homestead. On the one hand, they're going to be fighting against much larger teams in the state tournament this year, but they do return again just about everybody from that state title run last year. So we could have big things in store for them. And it's kind of a cool thing to say, you know, after winning a state title, how do you keep yourself motivated? Well, they got bumped up to 4A, so they're facing an even bigger challenge. Some of the other teams that received votes are Belmont, Columbia City, those are both in the NE8, and then our SAC teams, Northrop and Snyder.
Victoria Jacobson is covering all of the high school tournaments and sports for the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette. Thank you, as always, for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
The Fort Wayne Comets have stayed red hot on the road as their home opener inches closer. They took all 3 games against the Iowa Heartlanders last weekend and look to stay hot against the Florida Everblades the next few days. Face-off from South Florida will be at 7:30 Friday and 7 on Saturday. The Comets' first home game at the Coliseum will be Friday, November 21st against the Bloomington Bison. The number 2 Hoosiers continued their undefeated streak with another dominant performance over the weekend, beating Maryland 55-10. Just a few weeks are left on the college football season, and they'll take on the struggling Penn State on the road Saturday with kickoff at noon. With a win over Boston College last weekend, Notre Dame is now number 10 in the nation. They've got a tough one coming up Saturday with an impressive Navy team heading to South Bend. That one starts at 7:30. The Colts dropped their 2nd game of the season against the Pittsburgh Steelers last week. They still have one of the best records in football this year at 7-2 and will look to bounce back against the Atlanta Falcons overseas in Berlin on Sunday. Kickoff will be at 9:30 a.m. It will be the first time we see newly acquired cornerback Sauce Gardner in a Colts uniform. That should be a lot of fun. Things have not started well for the Pacers this season. After losing their first 5 games, they picked up a win over the Golden State Warriors last weekend. But then Miles Turner and the Bucks came to town and handed the Pacers their 6th loss by a 117-115 final score. Things don't get much easier as they hit the road for an extended road trip out west. They'll face the Denver Nuggets Saturday, followed by the Warriors Sunday, and the Utah Jazz on Tuesday. All 3 games will tip off after 8:30. Their next home game will be next Saturday, November 15th, against the Toronto Raptors. That's all for Field Notes this week. Field Notes comes out every Thursday. Zach Bernard will be back with you next week. I'm Brianna Barrow.
Music for Field Notes is produced by Jack Ankenbrook. You can support this podcast anytime at wboi.org/donate. You and I are listening to WBOI.